The emperor.
Kasya.
For what?
Va.
Or.
Heto.
Reason.
Pandunam.
All the sons of Pandu.
Manavardhana.
One who enriches the family.
Praya Upavishta.
Sitting and fasting.
Gangayam.
On the bank of the Ganges.
Anadritya.
Neglecting.
Adirat.
Acquired kingdom.
Shriyam.
Opulences. Translation. He was a great emperor and possessed all the opulences of his acquired kingdom. He was so exalted that he was increasing the prestige of the Pandu dynasty. Why did he give up everything to sit down on the bank of the Ganges and fast until death?
For Bhagavad was the emperor of the world and all the seas and oceans, and he did not have to take the trouble to acquire such a kingdom by his own effort. He inherited it from his grandfathers, Maharaj Yudhishthir and brothers. Besides that, he was doing well in the administration and was worthy of the good names of his forefathers. Consequently, there was nothing undesirable in his opulence and administration. Then why should he give up all these favorable circumstances and sit down on the bank of the Ganges, fasting till death? This is astonishing, and therefore all were eager to know the cause.
In the purport, in the synonyms, the word anadritya, neglecting, acquired kingdom. So the implication in this question is that by going and sitting down on the bank of the Ganges, he was artificially renouncing. So this brings up the question of when to renounce and when not to renounce, which Lord Krishna discusses in the Bhagavad Gita. Is amongst some persons controversial, but Krishna there gives his opinion, which should end controversy. Some people say that certain things should be renounced and others not. But Krishna says that renunciation, like any other activity, can be performed in the different modes of nature, and then its relative merit is seen. But there are some things that they should not be renounced, even if one is in the renounced order. It is not that categorically all sacrifice and penance and charity should be given up. Examples are given, such as marriage, that the sannyasi, he gives up marriage, but that does not mean that those who are not sannyasis should give up marriage. In fact, for most young men, marriage should be performed. Then the sannyasi, he can arrange for that marriage and perform that marriage, not that he should renounce anything to do with it. Rather, it says if he does that, he's in the mode of darkness. So we cannot, out of some desire to be free of the material world, but not understanding the different implications and how to preach in Varnashram, simply renounce everything irresponsibly. Especially any action in the mode of passion will always bring suffering. Any fruitive activity, and also renunciation is a kind of action. So if you renounce passionately, then just as by any fruitive passionate act, then by that passionate renunciation you'll also suffer. Examples are given that if one has to earn some money for Krishna consciousness, what if it's the order of his spiritual master? We have in the Vyas Pooj book this year the poem written by Prabhupada in 1961. And he was accusing his godbrothers of not going out and preaching. He says, so you are all renouncers now. But if you renounce the order of the spiritual master, then what is the value of that, tyaga? Renounce even the order? Why would you renounce the order of the spiritual master? Because you have some other idea. So if one has to earn money in Krishna consciousness, then one concocts and says, but this is fruitive, I cannot do it. Then that renunciation is in the mode of passion, out of fear, or thinking that it's too difficult. Or one may renounce foolishly, rising early in the morning. How is that a beneficial renunciation? You can say it's renouncing. The activity is to rise in the morning, I've renounced it. I've given it up. Yes, but it's not a fruitive act. That's obvious. But even earning money is not a fruitive act. You have to renounce the fruit, but don't renounce the act, if it is beneficial for Krishna consciousness. So, we have to get direction for everything. Krishna states there that under no condition should things be renounced which could be rendered to Krishna. Another example he cites is the giving up by the sannyasi of cooking. Cooking is associated with his sense gratification. Let him simply eat plainly. Don't take his own trouble to cook, so he cannot touch the fire. But what if he wants to worship a deity and cook something for Krishna? Then he's, I cannot do it? No, he can do it. He should not renounce that artificially. There is some traditional saying that a Hindu person in observance of his religion cannot cross the ocean. If they're just going to do some business, better they not cross the ocean. To go across the ocean, you have to do to fulfill Lord Chaitanya's order that in every town and village, my holy name should be chanted. So he will not renounce such an idea. So these things can be kept in mind, and the sages are hearing the descriptions of Maharaj Parikshit, that when he was at the helm of the government, the cow killer was stopped. The cow was protected. Now you say that he went to the bank of the Ganges while he was still a young man, while he was still so opulent. And we cannot understand the psychology also, because he was such a young man, he was able to enjoy his kingdom very strong. So, which implies that maybe such renunciation should be for later in life, especially when it's to giving up the whole life. We also say in Krishna consciousness movement that one should work with the people and preach Krishna consciousness, not go in a lonely place and sit down and end activities in that way. Bharata bhumite haila manusya janma jar janma sartika kara para kara upakar. Human life is meant, especially for one who is born in Bharata Varsha, for doing good to others. Work that is beneficial to others, para upakar, para dukkha dukhi. One should engage himself in this life to help others. Otherwise, it is a selfish life. We have so many obligations on birth to other living beings, our mother and father, to the demigods, to the philosophers, to the government, and that has to be repaid. Even in Krishna consciousness, we say, well, you don't have to pay these things separately. You just render service to Govinda, and all your other obligations will be fulfilled. But still, we acknowledge that this body is to be used in service to Krishna, and actually that service will be for all humanity by going and trying to spread Krishna consciousness movement, establish Krishna consciousness community, use this body to serve the Vaishnavas, to serve the spiritual master, and to serve all humanity. We heard Srila Prabhupada distinguishing this word seva and dana. Dana means charity. So the Mayavadis have created this word Dridra Narayan seva or Manava seva. They say Manava seva, Madhava seva. Manava, man. Madhava, the Lord. If you serve Manava, man, that's how you serve Madhava. But Prabhupada asks, where do we find that in the Bhagavad Gita? There is no such statement that man is, service to man equals service to God. He said, actually, service is rendered by the servant or the subordinate to the superior. Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arasabha Britya. Krishna is the only Lord, everyone is his servant. So when we render service to Krishna, it's seva. But when you render service to the poor man, that's not seva. You cannot serve him. You can dana. You can give him charity. So the whole conception is bogus, that one renders devotional service or worship to the poor man. How can you worship him? This we read the other night about the Buddhists. One of their principles was one should show mercy to everyone as an absolute religious principle. But Prabhupada wrote, but how can that be absolute? To some persons, how can I show them mercy? They're much greater than I am. What mercy can I give? Prabhupada was commenting how, what a mockery the wearing of the sacred thread is in India. Sometimes you see a tailorwala, a rickshaw driver, with a Brahmin thread. That's not the activity of a Brahmin. But someone else is saying to him, Maharaj, please give me your blessings. And he's saying something. Yes, take my blessings. He said, what is this? Oh, he is so degraded, living in a sinful life. How is he offering anyone blessings? How is he a Brahmin? So the same way, how can I offer mercy to others who am so poor? So mercy in that is not absolute, especially because one doesn't know how to give mercy even. Therefore, seva is rendered to the Lord, and one who understands that, performs that seva, he is actually giving dana, or charity, to all, everyone, because everyone is poor. Even Rockefeller is poor, because he does not know Krishna. So Maharaj Parikshit's life was because he's worshipping Krishna, he is being charitable to everyone else. And we can also say serving them by distributing Krishna consciousness. So why give that up, such noble work? This is the question. Of course, the answer is may not be given in the verses ahead. It may immediately. But we know from even... especially later, it's described how Maharaj Parikshit was cursed and how he had to give up the kingdom, but he also very willingly did so when he knew he was cursed. He gave it up in this way. Everyone has to give up, but it's a fortunate person who knows that when he has to give up. They're saying, well, if he was going to grow to an old man, he wouldn't have renounced. He would have continued to discharge his duties. But he had got notification of his death. So rather than be just pulled out of your activities, it is better to before death comes, be in the position of sannyas, having given everything to Krishna. In the Krishna consciousness movement, we are fortunate by the grace of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna to be put in a position that even as a young man, young woman, young boy, everything has been given up. Because we understand, we have nothing anyway. Whatever riches we have are given by Krishna, so give them up to Krishna. From the youngest age, render service. Give the body, give the mind, give the words to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada used to go around in India asking a family, you have so many sons, give me one son to make me a Brahmin. Ask for the life. And they say, oh no, we cannot. What good will it be if our son becomes a sadhu? What is the benefit of that? We'd rather he become an engineer. I cannot see why it would be beneficial. You're not bringing in any money. Simply be a sadhu. But this is good. Give your life to Krishna. One way or another. But you must do it at the end of life if you're an actual progressive human being. So Maharaj Parikshit was going to die, he knew, in 7 days. And the reason was that it was all an arrangement by Krishna, the plan of Krishna. So, and that was for liberating him, because even though he was a nice devotee, he was implied in the royal life, and he had to get out to become really simply absorbed in the pastimes of Krishna from Shukadeva Goswami. So this is the answer, but in asking this question, it brings up the responsibility that even a Krishna-conscious person has, and how he cannot make up his own mind about what to give up and how to act in the spirit of renunciation. It is not a cheap thing. If one enters marriage, then he has to fulfill the obligations. He cannot renounce them. If he renounces, then suddenly somehow renounces, runs away, and appears in another place, like wearing saffron, then, because he has not finished the stage of life, then he'll again be looking for arrangement for marriage or association with a woman for material enjoyment. Then he'll begin in white, then in saffron, and it just causes a disturbance. Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatra, Vidim, Vina. Devotional service has to be in accordance with the Shruti, Smriti, Puranas. You cannot decide when to renounce unless you've actually attained the different stages. That's a responsibility. Or whatever engagement we take up under the order of the spiritual master, then if we find it a little difficult, that's called in the mode of passion. This was once explained very nicely by our spiritual master. When he saw the symptom of persons going from place to place, changing their engagements, and the occasion of changing each engagement was that I don't find the proper facility here, my mind is disturbed, and I think there's another place I can go to do my service. Srila Prabhupada said, this agitation that is occurring to you, you are misunderstanding and you're taking it on the mental platform. That is, that wherever we finally stop running and decide to, all right, here I'll do it, I'll chant and serve here, I'll surrender here in this place, then it doesn't mean, even when you go to the best place with the good leadership that you desire and the nice facility, that there won't be trouble there. And the trouble is controlling the mind and the senses. That's inherent in devotional service, tapodibhyam. It's not simply without difficulty. So one wants to renounce the difficulty of surrendering to Krishna, but you can't. You do it. That is surrender. That even when that difficulty comes, I don't say, well, do you actually mean that it's not just the circumstance, but actually within devotional service it's difficult, then I won't do devotional service, I quit. There's no quitting, there's no resigning. But then one is exposed, who's not actually a devotee, but it's simply on some mental plane, that when it's too difficult, he'll be prepared to give up devotional service. That is renunciation and ignorance. So, the devotee mistakes the difficulty of surrendering for that it's just a certain material situation. I know it's wrong. If I could just have a different wife, or if I could just go to another center, if I could just go where this Swami is, or this country, this, that, all I need is this climate. And then they go there, and a little something is wrong, I have to go somewhere else, not knowing that it's the difficulty of devotional service that one has to face and just endure, overcome. So these are other kind of anarthas in the name of renunciation. So the question is rightly asked of such persons. Well, they had this. They had the facility of chanting Hare Krishna. They have a bona fide spiritual master. Nice engagement. Why is he giving it up? question can be asked. Well, don't give up service. It is not renunciation. Don't give up the order of the spiritual master. But give up the passion, give up the ignorance that would prompt us to think like that. And then one should not think in the other way, that in the name of being spiritual, I cannot do this, I cannot do that, it will not be good for me. It will not be good for me to see non-devotees. It will not be good for me to handle money. It will not be good for me to run a machine. It will not be good for me to do this, do that. No. Anasaktasya vishayam yataram upayanjite nirbandha krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagyam uchite. Everything is Krishna's energy. You simply give up the fruit, give up the material intention of using it for sense gratification. You cannot renounce. If something is misused, doesn't mean you give it up. Just like the example is given, some man, he was robbed of his dishes in his home. So then from then on, he became so disgusted and said, all right, then they took my dishes. From now on, our family will eat off the floor. So what kind of renunciation is that? He said, but I've been cheated. Sometimes we even are given counterfeit money. We saw a sign at one toll booth. He said, if you give us any counterfeit money, we'll confiscate it. So if someone loses some counterfeit money, they said, then I'm finished. I won't deal with the money anymore. Because who knows, I might get a counterfeit bill. That you cannot do. Just like Srila Prabhupada has introduced that in this movement, women may serve as good as men. So, but if by the combination of men and women, an attempt to make it separate and no illicit sex, something happens, then does that mean we have to give up? That women cannot serve, women cannot perform sankirtan, we cannot have women in the temple? No. You have to live. Live means going on and forgetting some faulty encounter. Even in any encounter, in any engagement, in any work, there's always some fault. Just as in fire, there's always a little smoke. But you cannot give it up. Just as in the summer, if it's too hot, you still have to cook. Well, now it's getting cold, we notice. So we cannot decide, I won't bathe now. The summer is over. You have to do your duty. You cannot renounce. So even though there's some fault, don't take it as a fault in the process or as a cause for giving up. But now we have to do it without any anartha, very carefully, so that these things don't repeatedly happen. The same thing sometimes people say, Prabhupada, it's hard for people to accept our movement because they think they've been cheated by different spiritual movements. They think they may be cheated again. He never thought that psychology was very healthy or valid. So that may be that you have been cheated before, but you have to live your life. You cannot sit home and cry. You have to find out carefully how this is a bona fide process. And then, once again, in order to live, we have to have some heart and try to give this life for Krishna. Even though by not surrendering to Krishna, we were cheated. But you won't find that I surrendered to Krishna and I was cheated. So foolish kinds of renunciation should be given up in this way. And when it's time to actually renounce, as it was for Parikshit, then you must do it very immediately and directly. Are there any questions? Yes.
Since Maharishi was such a great ruler and a perfect king, everyone under his rule were under his protection and guidance. So how could he give up his kingdom and renounce his that artificial mercy?
There are a series of verses, and one after the next is exactly that question, that, or even further. They're saying that's all right for him, but that he was going to become detached. But what about the people? They all depended on him. How could he give up his mortal body, which was shelter for others? So it's a fact that there was... But he had a good replacement. His son, Jamanjaya, was an equally Krishna-conscious personality. And it wasn't that everything depended on him. That's that... Prabhupada said that was the consciousness of Gandhi and other politicians. Without me, everything will be finished. He said, but actually, things are going on without them. At least in Parikshit's case, it wasn't sense gratification. It was Krishna's plan. How could he resist it? We have an opposite example in that other king. He was already practicing Priyavrata. He was practicing renunciation with Narada Muni. But Brahma came, and Shiva came, and Swayambhuva Manu came, and they said, there's no suitable king. You must use your life and your body to be a king. Now take a wife and live opulently. And he didn't want to do it. But his spiritual master Narada submitted to the other authorities. And so he went from a life of renunciation to become a king for that purpose, that the people had to be protected. That was Krishna's plan. But it's also Krishna's plan that Parikshit, although very young and the best king, the whole, like, he was saved in the womb just so he could rule, but, and he's still young, but he has to go. That's Krishna's plan. So no one can lament it. And at least in that history, his grown-up son, Jamanjaya, was a suitable ruler. So it was unfortunate for the people to see him leave. But there's no fault on his part. Therefore, we have to also prepare for successors. One may be attached, that one, just like with Srila Prabhupada. We would like that he live perpetually. Sometimes we thought he would live 125 years. Or he said, actually, if you'll distribute my books and print my books, I will live for hundreds of years. So anything is possible. We didn't want to think of him ever leaving, but Krishna arranged and he took him. Prabhupada used to say in his last days, we would plead with him, please stay. He said, I have no objection, but let us see what Krishna desires. So Krishna wanted him back. Then what can be done? You can't find fault with fate or providence or with Krishna's will when he takes Maharaj Parikshit or Srila Prabhupada back. But part of their greatness is that they don't leave the people simply bereft. Like at the time when that one king left, and he left his horrible son, King Bena. Actually, he left no one. And then the kingdom was just, it went, he said that everywhere you saw big clouds of smoke because all the thieves were running here and there, stealing everything, with no king. So his son, King Bena, was not really eligible, but they placed him just to have a king, and then he was even worse. He was strict, stopped the thieves, but he was a tyrant, and then he had to be removed. So, and King Prithu came. So there has to be succession. Then even in the departure of a great personality, everyone can worship him in separation and follow the instructions he's left in succession. So it will always be lamented when a Maharaj Parikshit leaves, but you cannot find fault that his life was not good. He left in this way. He left us bereft. No, we're sorry, but we know he has gone by the order of Krishna. And we have to and follow his orders.